Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRHA.
You said that already.
Did I?
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. Or any of them, they're guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. If you've listened to the last couple of shows, you'll know why. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
How you feeling, Shelly?
This is about the last 20 minutes I'm going to be able to do this.
Ah. We need to talk fast.
Yeah.
Shelly's fading.
Shelly. For those that don't know, we've had like some serious bronchitis, walking pneumonia, and a variety pack of other...
And I'm really, really tired.
Things going on.
So, yeah. Let's bust a move here, buddies.
I discovered, though, that I'm excellent in bed. I
can
stay there all day. Yeah, yeah. And have.
And it's not so fun when your sick wife then has to go in and check your blood sugar a million times a day and try and wake you up so you can eat.
Ooh,
how have you been doing, Mark, by the way?
I've been outstanding.
Well, because it's been a couple,
We've been a couple weeks
week and a half,
each other.
2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I've been great.
Everything going good?
It is. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Kids?
Kids are fantastic, doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
My kids are well. Oh, I got to tell you this. So we're sitting. Connor,
yeah.
Our 20-year-old that's at Cal State LA,
mm-hmm.
Has a friend over to talk about stuff to do with school,
mm-hmm.
And suddenly Connor goes, "Well, I was looking at buying some knives from her," and I'm like, "Oh." And Shelly goes, "Oh, well, you need to talk to Bruce about that." And this girl starts launching into the sales pitch about these knives.
Uh-huh.
And they're like knives for your kitchen.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of them?
I don't even remember.
They're $2,000.
Oh.
For a set of knives.
And she tells me, she goes, "Well, wouldn't you agree that you'd want to have knives that you could leave to your family?" And I'm like, and she goes, "The good thing is, we can break it up into payments for you. We can break it up into four monthly payments of $550 a month." And I'm like,
"Now there's that's a $2,200."
And I'm like, and I'm like, that's more than my two car payments put together, right there.
But it's less than the knives you'll ever need.
Yeah, I'm,
well, I should hope so at that price.
I'm like, can I buy one?
What's their tagline? Buy the knives that would make OJ proud.
I'll tell you.
What the heck is that?
I was
that?
Like, okay. And then my daughter is off at the Cannabis Cup.
Right.
In San Bernardino.
Well.
Which is the...
you have to go to something.
It's run by like High Times or something.
High Times.
Well, you know what she told me? She said, Dad, I've been thinking about starting this clothing line with things about weed on shirts. And I'm thinking... As much as I know that it's probably not going to be long before it's legalized in California, it probably is the perfect time to strike while the iron is hot for that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I have a long time sobriety. You know I do a radio show on recovery, right? It's a perfect thing.
She should
I do a radio
advertise.
Show on recovery. My daughter will be the cannabis queen of New Orleans.
She should advertise on the show.
Yeah, she'll be the cannabis queen of New Orleans on,
perfect.
Oh, perfect.
She doesn't live in New Orleans.
I know, but it rhymed, so it sounded good. By the way, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, let's Fran sent us this one.
Hey, Fran.
Fantastic.
Emma Thompson, she played P.L. Travers in Saving Mr. Banks.
Great. She should get the Academy Award.
She was presenting the award for Best Screenplay at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
And apparently she is not shy about enjoying a good martini. She jumped up on stage with her shoes in one hand and the martini in the other, obviously sloshed, said, whoop, threw the shoes over her head and proceeded to present the award.
Oh. Didn't spill a drop of the martini, did she?
No, she did not.
Golden Globes are infamous for that.
Oh, yeah?
They get there and just get hammered.
Now I want to go find that on YouTube. I want to see that.
You will.
I want to see her sloshed.
Fran also sent in the next one.
Is it in Nashville?
No.
Is it in Florida?
No.
Nope.
Oh.
It's in Los Angeles.
What?
Yes. Unfortunately, our old friend David Cassidy has gotten yet another DUI. What is this, like his ninth or something like that?
I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of?
He's 63 years old. Can you believe that David Cassidy's 63 years old?
The tiger beat heartthrob of all time.
Yeah, and he's 63. I never thought that. That's just not conceivable. It's inconceivable.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, I keep using that word. His last DUI conviction was actually in Florida. He had one before that in New York.
He's a global drinker.
Yes, he gets one everywhere he goes. He was
arrested. Was he wearing a Technicolor dream coat, though?
$15,000 bail. He will appear in court this month.
All right.
This might be his first one in California, actually.
Welcome to California.
Yeah. I don't know what that story was about.
Well, if you look at the group from that show, you know, one of them is Danny Bonaducci. That should tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, really.
Actually, Danny, nice guy, though. I met him. He's a nice guy.
He was a good guy.
He beat the crap out of one of my friends.
Yes.
In the ring.
I am not sure. Okay, in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Jennifer Cunningham Hayden.
Uh-oh. Three names.
She's 33 years old. She was charged with drug trafficking, possession of drug paraphernalia, and public intoxication. She was slumped over. Somebody called the cops. They saw her slumped over the wheel of her SUV. She was right outside McDonald's. Because that's where you would be if you were slumped over your SUV.
Yeah, Mickey D's, baby.
Wow.
That's a big...
The choice of drug dealers everywhere.
Bad Big Mac.
The officers that went up to knock on the door, they smelled ether and lighter fluid.
Ooh.
Fumes coming from the car.
Ooh.
They found a small portable meth lab in the back seat.
Damn.
Along with a set of scales.
Oops.
Now, because this is Kentucky, in order to get into the SUV, they had to cut through the nylon ropes that were holding the car doors shut.
Nice. There, I fixed it. I fixed the door, honey.
Kentucky kludge. But because of all of the fumes, the flammable fumes, they had to shut down the McDonald's for 3 hours during the breakfast rush. And you know how people are about getting their Egg McMuffins.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It was chaos.
And you know what? Where was this again?
Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
And the problem is, there's like where we live, you could drive two blocks and find another McDonald's. But in Hopkinsville, there might only be one McDonald's.
However, big run on the Waffle House that day.
Yeah.
That's right. George's Chicken and Waffle right around the corner.
I still get such a kick out of the fact that, what is it, FEMA that uses the Waffle House indicator?
Yep. Waffle House indicator.
Yeah. Whether or not they're open or open in limited menu or whatever, how bad it is.
Really?
Waffle House is everywhere.
Yeah.
Because Waffle House never closes.
Yeah, they never close. And if the disaster is bad enough to close a Waffle House, then it's really bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've
only been to one, and that's up there in Pasadena. Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
That's not a Waffle House. This is called the Waffle House. Roscoe's is not the Waffle House.
Right.
But it's chicken and waffles.
I don't know. But we're talking about Waffle House.
It's, we're a, talking weird, places, it's a weird combination.
We're talking places where wind blows in...
Yes.
In spinning like, directions.
Yes. Yeah. Gale force winds.
I know, but it's a weird combo.
Chicken and waffles?
Chicken and waffles.
It is.
It just is.
I would never eat it.
It's a strange combination.
Go for it.
I can't.
I did it at Earthling
that.
Many times.
Yeah, go for it.
Fran also sent this one in. Fran was on a roll.
Fran is on fire.
Fran in fuego.
Brielle Irene Watkins, also 33.
And three names.
I'm going to start calling names. Fran Katniss.
There's a lot of divisibles of three here, Shelly. Are you okay with that?
Yes, because three is a I like prime numbers, as long as I don't have to buy prime although I will buy three of something.
Because seven's a prime number.
I know. Seven's kind of a funky number. I'm not real thrilled with sevens. I love fives, though. But when I buy, like, yogurts and stuff, it has to be in pairs. Things come in pairs.
You guys like this? We're going to bring Shelly back to buying yogurts for the next month.
Now, listen to this. Listen to this. You ready for this, Shelly?
What?
Could you buy one pair?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But I would probably buy one pear, one apple, and one orange. Then it would be a trio, because a trio is good. The Trinity.
One pair, like one pair of shoes.
But that's two shoes.
It's one pair.
Right, but it's two shoes.
It's one pair of shoes.
If you bought seven pairs.
That would be 14 shoes.
It's still seven pairs.
I know, but it's 14 shoes.
Good Lord. Go on to Fran's story.
Okay.
I'm going to start calling Fran Katniss. She's girl on fire. Girl on fire.
Okay, Brielle Irene Watkins.
Frantness.
She was doing a public service here.
Who was?
She was doing a Brielle Irene Watkins. She did a public service. She knew she was going to get busted anyway. So she was drunk. She just crashed her car right into the jail.
Nice.
Yes. But then the jail staff had to call the police to come and arrest her because they couldn't just take her in without due process.
They just open the door.
Yeah, they can't just open
just
the door.
Just sit right there.
Yeah. Just, you're good. You're good where you sit. Thanks.
Now, interestingly enough,
you pull your car out of the side of the wall.
Oh, and actually, this one was in Gainesville,
Florida.
Yes. And interestingly enough, she had already hit something. It doesn't say in the story what. But
Florida took everything out of Bruce.
Florida was killing me.
When she crashed into the jail, she was missing an entire tire.
Hence why she lost control of the car.
Lost control of the car.
Right. So somewhere there's a random tire floating around Florida.
Yes.
We're going to find it in Georgia.
Deborah sent this one in. A taxpayer, William Barova, whatever. He was being audited by the IRS. He went to the IRS office in Hoppage, New York. And while he was there, he's now suing the IRS, by the way, for $862,000. He owed $60,000. But while he was in the office, he tripped over a phone cord, fell against a cabinet, and had to go to the hospital.
All right.
He said that he has lost the sense of feeling in his leg and is suffering from shoulder pain. He spent 17 days in hospitals and rehabilitation centers recovering from his injury. He was denied the $10 million he originally asked for. But the judge is appending approval by the lawyers. You know, the lawyers might counter. $862,000. The IRS declined to state whether or not they are going to take the $60,000 out of his award. The $60,000 he owes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You'd think that, you know, if there's a phone cord running across an office, that someone else at some point might have said, hey, there's a phone cord here. We might want to move that. Somebody's going to trip. At the library, if there was, like, a drawer open.
What do you think the chances
are? It's like this massive emergency.
The guy's in there, he's like, damn, I owe $60,000. Oh, my. Look at that cord right there.
Somebody could
trip over that. Looks dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to figure out where, because, you know, this is news from the other week. San Juan, Puerto Rico.
In San Juan, Puerto Rico.
I'm not sure why anyone would want to do this.
What'd you do?
They're looking, the police in Puerto Rico are looking for someone who stole $22,000 worth of chicken eggs.
Someone who's hungry?
Which came first?
The truck was worth $35,000. So total, it was...
You sure they didn't steal the truck?
Huh?
You sure they didn't steal the truck or the truck happened to have chicken?
The eggs just happened to be with it?
Well, why would you steal a giant refrigerator truck?
Because you have refrigerated items you need to move?
Yeah.
Well, so like you buy a cooler.
You own a market.
But it was full of eggs. That's a lot of omelets.
That is a lot of omelets.
Maybe Justin Bieber had new neighbors.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
That's true. He may have, you know, the way he wants to egg people.
Do you know what would be classic?
I like how you bring the boozy news full circle.
Yes.
You know what would be classic? Next week, Justin Bieber held in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
For stealing a truck full of eggs.
Yeah. You know, no, it'd really be cool. It was somebody next stole, like, a truckload of hams.
Hams?
Yeah.
Ham and eggs?
Yeah, ham and eggs. Yeah.
The week after.
Yeah.
It's a thing full of potatoes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Next thing you know, local charities having a big breakfast.
Yeah. New IHOP opens.
New IHOP opens.
Okay. Wait. Oh, well, we're just about at time, but I'm looking for...
Find a good alcoholic story.
Well...
End us with a good one, Shelley.
In York County, Virginia.
Okay.
A husband and wife were both hospitalized after a domestic dispute. The man suffered from multiple gunshot wounds.
Alcohol involved in this one.
Oh, God.
They were non-life-threatening gunshot wounds to his head and arm. He was treated and released. Right after he was taken to the hospital, his wife called 911 claiming that she had been shot. The police found her suffering from a stab wound to the neck that they believe was self-inflicted.
What was this over?
A beer.
A beer?
It doesn't say how much beer.
It doesn't matter. A beer is a beer is a beer.
A beer is a beer.
Yes. And, you know.
Knew that was coming.
You knew that there had to be something like beer involved. But wait, there's another one up here that this is. Sorry.
They're serious about their beer in Vermont.
The hooker in church.
The what?
Oh, hooker in church. The Mary Magdalene story.
The what?
Sorry.
The Mary Magdalene story.
Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. James Chatton is now admitting to being a sex addict. He was struggling with his addiction. He hired an escort. Sorry, hold on a second.
Shelly's barfing up a lung.
Here comes
right
the
now.
Bronchitis. Oh, my
She's
goodness.
Back. Oh,
I told
God.
You we only had like 20 minutes left.
You still have 20 minutes left.
He broke into the church with his hooker, did whatever they were going to do in the sanctuary, and then broke into the petty cash box
to pay
the hooker. And then he got
She was doing God's work.
She was, yeah, really. He got 100 hours.
I'll bet she hit her knees.
He got 100 hours of community service.
Honey, time for communion.
The hooker cost $116.06 because that's all that was in the petty cash fund. He knew he wouldn't be able to put the money back before anybody noticed, so he told them that he was taking out the garage when someone attacked him from behind, rushed in, and broke into the petty cash box.
Okay.
I think they...
taking out the garbage, sorry.
If he got attacked from behind, I'm pretty sure you got a courtesy reach around.
And on that note, Mark's like, why am I here? My life held so much promise.
There were so many better ones than that. You've been sick.
Well, that's your one.
You've been sick.
Mm-hmm. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
We are back. Welcome back, Shelley.
Yes.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
More like nightmares.
We have a topic.
We do.
Sent in by Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper. Sure. By the way, Bill Piper sent in a topic, and he said, fear of commitment. Not fear of commitment like people committing to each other, but fear of taking commitments at meetings. You know, people are like, I don't know, like they get scared to take a commitment because it's going to be too long or something like that. They don't want to commit to have to be at that meeting every week for.
You mean like when someone makes a comment like, next week will be my last week as secretary, I need to give this commitment up, so we'll nominate and elect somebody next week, and people who purposely don't come to the meeting.
Yeah, because nobody shows up.
Yeah.
Those people?
That's why you never announce it ahead of time.
That's actually probably not a bad idea. Now, we don't really have this problem because all of us have had, commitments ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Serve till I puke.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, and I've done it. I have had a problem with commitment before, and it's a GSR commitment. And I've been a GSR at a couple of meetings, but usually GSR is one of those two-year commitments.
Yeah.
Man, 2 years, it's a long time. And it's not even that I don't go to that meeting. I mean, I remember the Thursday night meeting. I was secretary. Well, no, I was like whatever, chip guy. Then I was like coffee person. Then I was like literature person. Then I was like H&I person. Then I was treasurer. Then I was secretary. Then I was treasurer again. Then I was, and it's like for about 5 or 6 years I went through with never leaving that meeting.
Yep.
What did you used to call it?
Me?
Something about rearranging chairs or?
Oh, rearranging chairs on the Titanic.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. The same few people just juggle from one spot to the next within the same board or within the same meeting because, of course, they're bleeding deacons and they know how to do it best.
You have some experience with that right now at a Tuesday night meeting, is it? Coconuts?
Thursday night?
Thursday
night.
I don't go out there anymore.
Huh?
I don't go out there anymore.
Does Debbie?
Nope. Finally gave it up.
But you had experience.
After 4 years of being secretary of that meeting.
And how does that happen?
And she gave it up, and Terry took it.
I know Terry. And you know what?
He was the GSR for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So
And the treasurer is now the GSR. And the treasurer's brother is now the treasurer. So it's like,
rearranging chairs on the Titanic.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
When I hear that and I say someone's been secretary for 4 years, it's like, What happens? You say, okay, time to elect a secretary.
Yeah.
Oh, let's elect Debbie again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had people at the World Services level say to me, well, it's fine to give up a commitment, but you have to have someone to be able to give it up to. And I remember a secretary not showing up for a meeting when I was young in sobriety. We said, well, let's get the stuff out. There was no stuff. So I looked at one guy and he says, well, I'm secretary of another meeting. I've got the notebook.
The format.
Yeah. I said, well, go get the format out of your car. So he brought in the format and we found coffee and we made coffee and we had a meeting. There were 15, 16 people there. But the secretary didn't show. Now I look today, you go somewhere and there's a meeting and all of a sudden I'll get a call from a sponsee. Hey, isn't this meeting still at this place? Yeah, why? Well, they're not having a meeting tonight. Why not? Because the secretary didn't show up. Are you there? Yeah. Anybody else there? Yeah. Good. Sit down and have a meeting. You've done the same thing. You know, it's like, what do you mean there's no meeting because the secretary didn't show up? There's a meeting.
I've gotten a call from people at the Thursday night meeting where one of my sponsees, who's treasurer, said, secretary didn't show up. I said, how many people are there? About 10. Go up in the cupboard, get the notebook, run the meeting. But the secretary's not here. Oh, yes, he is.
It's you.
I think that, especially with some of the younger members, not necessarily younger in age, but younger in time,
mm-hmm.
that the whole part of the traditions where it talks about trusted servants,
uh-huh.
they haven't figured out what that means.
Yeah, that's you.
Trusted servant does not mean boss.
Yeah.
But they've gotten it into their heads that when they start going to meetings, whoever that secretary is, oh, they're in charge. Like they're the boss of you or the boss of the meeting or what. And if they don't show up, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it works. There is no hierarchy. You know, if somebody with 40 years shows up to the meeting and the coffee maker's running late, the guy with 40 years starts the coffee.
Like
I've made lots
almost
of coffee.
Always.
But if the coffee maker's running late and some guy with 60 days or a year or whatever shows up and is wondering where the coffee is, he'll sit there and wonder.
My sponsor does it, has done it many times on Tuesday night. My sponsor's got 30 years. He'll be like sitting there, coffee maker doesn't show up. He just goes and gets the coffee and just makes it.
Yeah, you just go make it.
Boom. It reminds me of when I used to work at a Montgomery Ward store. I know in other parts of the country it was called Jefferson Ward and then some other names. They used to love to hire like housewife types. And I always said, why do you want to hire housewives? And they said, because look, when you hire kids and they're young and they don't really know anything, they want to do as little as possible as they can mm-hmm. for the amount of time they put in. When you get a mother walks into an area and says, oh, look, all that shit needs to be put up on the shelves, and they just do it.
Yeah.
You don't even need to tell them to do it. It's kind of like a person with time in the program walks in. You know, they say, oh, we got to pass the basket. Suddenly they realize there's no treasure.
Yeah.
The guy goes and grabs a cup or something, a coffee cup off the table, starts handing that around, pulls a pen out and a piece of paper, and suddenly becomes treasure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when I first started working at the library, when I got hired, I started as a shelver. I got hired, I'm a mom, I go in, I start doing all kinds of stuff, reorganizing, moving, you know, putting the books in the right places instead of just leaving them on the ends of the shelves. I started dusting. And my boss at the time said, what are you doing? Because I'm walking through the library with this giant duster.
Yeah.
I said, dusting the shelves, they're really bad. Huh? And she said, oh.
You're like, they've been dusted since 1963.
Yeah, because nobody did it.
Yeah. Why are you dusting them? Because they had dust.
Because they were dusty.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have the exact opposite problem because now I work upstairs. I'm in a totally different job, different responsibilities. Now the new young shelvers that come in, it's filthy down there.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't have the experience or whatever. They think, you know, well, it's somebody else's job. Somebody else's, and that's the same way in meetings. Somebody else is always in charge. Yeah. Somebody else is you.
Yeah.
So how would you suggest to someone to get over the fear of commitment? Because some people, I've seen it a lot of times, like with young people, when they're really new, they like to get a job like Chips or something. It's almost like, oh my God, I'm part of the group now. Oh, they've elected me to be the Chip person.
Yeah, but then they go out after 45 days and you gotta get a new one.
Not always. Not always.
It goes back to each one teach one. Whatever job you have, first off, you should always be grooming somebody else to do that job.
Yeah.
I have to wonder, this just occurred to me. We randomly elect our newer members to do things like greeter and chip person and coffee maker and stuff like that. The jobs that don't require
time.
All time, yeah. Perhaps we should not just randomly elect people. We should figure out which ones of the newcomers have a sponsor and are working steps and elect them. Not the sponsor, the newcomer that is actually trying to work the program rather than the newcomer that is just there because that's where they're going. Just because.
Yeah, see, I got to play devil's advocate there. Because sometimes that new person getting that commitment is the thing that like locks them in. Oh my God, now I'm part of the group.
Right, I understand, but a lot of times, like when Mark says, well, 45 days later they go out. Well, why did they go out 45 days later? Because they're not working a program. They're not invested in any of this. So then if we get one that we know has a sponsor, they're already invested, and the commitment helps keep them solid.
What we should do is go around to everyone's sponsor and say, why don't you send one of your guys over here? We need to give a commitment to someone.
We could do that. I mean, it's like, you know, because Mark just said, each one teach one. The reason I had so many commitments in the beginning is because my sponsor told me that this was my job. This is what you do. She handed me a suitcase of literature at a meeting. You carry this literature around. You bring it every Sunday. This is your job. I did it for 2 years.
So really,
you know,
it's incumbent on sponsors
to nominate their sponsees.
I mean, incumbent on sponsors to let their sponsees know that, you know,
that they have
you
to should, do
you,
this.
You can't have fear of commitment because you are going to take commitments.
So rather than just randomly picking somebody who may or may not have a sponsor, we find the ones that have sponsors that are starting to work and get them more invested.
Yeah.
Too complicated.
Well, even like if you're secretary of a meeting, you should have sponsees coming to that meeting.
Yes.
Why don't we, as a secretary, why wouldn't you tell your sponsee this is what being a secretary is, and then 1 week have your sponsee meet you there 10 minutes early and hand them the book. You know what? You do it tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, the Thursday night meeting I had, Greg was the phone line guy. Uh-huh. William is the treasurer.
Uh-huh.
For a while, I had, I can't remember who it was coffee, but I had like four guys that all had commitments in that meeting because I told them to take commitments in that meeting.
Yeah,
and the one that one of your guys didn't have was always the one I had.
No, there you go. Well, you're almost like a sponsee.
You're almost like one of his guys.
Yeah.
I don't have a sponsor. I don't have a commitment there now at all. In fact, I haven't been to a meeting in like 2 weeks.
I don't have a single commitment at any meeting.
Right, no, now. That's not true. I went Tuesday. Remember when you were sick, I went.
I have a commitment still, sort of.
I gotta go find a meeting where I can be coffee person.
I miss being coffee person because you can do fun stuff like bring hot cocoa mix and get a thing of cookies. You can make it your own little thing.
I've said this on the show before. We had when the Thursday night meeting was really not quite at its heyday, where it was in the gym where there was a couple hundred people.
Thank you.
But there was 100 people crammed in this one room. And we had one of those big, huge coffee silver container things. And this guy, Matt, I had about 7 years, and he goes, we need a coffee person. He goes, I nominate Bruce. And I'm like, whoa. You know, because those require commitment.
Yeah.
You got to be there like an hour early to start making it because things got, you know, 4 gallons of water in there.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. I went out every week. I found a gourmet coffee house that donated pounds of coffee to us. I made Haitian Blue Voodoo coffee. I bought a grinder, grinded the beans fresh.
He donated the beans to you, right?
Huh?
He donated the beans to you, right?
To me.
And you donated them.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, of course. Because that would be a violation of tradition if he donated them to the meeting. Of
course, he didn't donate them to the meeting. He donated them to me.
Yeah.
I said, my meeting could really use some beans. He says, I'll give you a pound.
Thank you.
Thank you. Haitian Blue Voodoo. Mm-hmm. Oh, good shit. I think we had people coming to the meeting just for the coffee for a while. It was like going to Starbucks.
Well, when I was the coffee maker at Thursday, and I had all those different things in the teas.
Yeah, teas and everything. It was awesome.
I had all kinds of crap. We had the employees from the hospital come in and steal at our coffee and tea.
Hot chocolate and teas. And
I had, and then in the fall, I brought those little apple cider things. And
yeah.
I remember, broke my hot water bottle, hot water pot.
Ooh. I remember one time we got a new coffee maker. I go to pour the creamer in. I am going to have a sip of my coffee. I said, wow, this coffee smells like amaretto.
Yes.
And I look.
I remember that.
And the guy brought amaretto-flavored coffee creamer. I said, maybe not the best thing for an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
I mean, it's not like there's amaretto in it, but still, it's amaretto-flavored.
Yeah. Everyone in there is like looking at their coffee like, Yeah.
They're like looking at their phones.
Yeah. Next week, a guy brought a bottle of amaretto.
Yeah.
The heck?
Hey, we're going to have Mexican coffee this week.
In his defense, I'm not sure he knew what amaretto was.
That's funny.
So, Shelley.
He was a tweaker.
Of course.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
What are your final words on fear of commitment?
Jump in. The water's fine.
Ooh. Not bad.
That's right. Get off the sidewalk.
There you go.
Get off the sidewalk?
That's right.
Let's see. Fear of commitment. Don't fear the reaper.
Give back what you've been so freely given.
Yeah, actually, pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid freely at your feet and give back what's been so freely given you.
There you go. Kind of a group last words.
Yeah, really.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town. And I forgot to mention the last time that I did this particular announcement. If you go to 12stepgazette.ie.com, that is the Inland Empire one for Southern California.
Awesome.
The new one that came out. My poem is in the 12-Step Gazette, the main one.
12-Step Gazette.
Yes.
But not in the Inland Empire one.
No.
Okay. I'm going to go check that out when we're done with the show. Mark, people are listening to the show.
Who's coming to the convention?
I don't know. People should start telling us.
Shout out to Paul R., who is probably coming to the convention and said he would like to help on things. So did Greg V., said he would like to help, and he's actually our Vegas connection.
Okay.
He lives there.
Yes. And shout out to Paul R. Thank you very much for your assistance this week. Fortunately, it was not needed.
Yes.
We managed to fix that problem by ourselves. We had a
slight problem with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure. Well, he was very helpful, but we ended up not needing help.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I forgot what else I was going to say. I had another shout-out, but I forgot what it was. Shout-out to everybody. Shout-out to Katie Uck. We haven't talked to her in a while.
She's out.
What the Uck?
She's out.
What the Uck, Katie?
Katie.
You think she's stripping again?
I haven't gotten any recent video.
A recent video? Yeah. Meaning that you have a non-recent? Meaning you have a non-recent video?
I ain't saying nothing.
She likes Mark better than us. He's getting videos. We just get stills.
I didn't.
That's so
okay,
unfair.
I'm feeling completely left out here because I don't have videos or stills.
Wow. We're special.
Sir, I know.
You're the specialist.
Yeah, you're special, all right. That's why we have a short bus for you, too. Yeah. You can pick up your helmets on your way into the bus.
But, Mom, I don't play hockey.
Yeah. What's this for? So, Mark, people are listening to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening to the show. However you get this show, I really appreciate you listening. If you do not get it from our site, we ask that you go to recovery101.net. When you go there, you can do all the things we ask you to do at the end of every show, which is join, follow, click, like, add to playlists, and
comment.
Give us and comment and leave us show suggestions. Thank you.
Add to playlists.
I put that in there.
If you are on Facebook and are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. If you want to be a little more anonymous online, you can join the Recovery 101 radio group. That is a private group, and your posts, you'll be able to see them, but other people will not be able to see them. And let's see. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topics and stuff like that there, rants and raves and all that. We've got, if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly. Who's the lead on music by?
KDRC.
Yes.
Kill Devil Rum Club.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it.
And be the example?
Huh? Oh, and be the example. Oh, yeah.
We're out.
I was looking. I'm like, why are these guys
Bruce,
not...
take care of you, please.
Oh, I know why. The mouse isn't working because I'm holding it backwards.
Yeah.